This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
On the Paracast this week, we have invited back Joshua Cutchin, and he's got a new book out for Anomalous Books called The Brimstone Deceit.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
We're in trouble now. Now, we had him on last year for a book called A Trojan Feast, The Food and Drink Offerings of Aliens, Fairies, and Sasquatch, and it's definitely not from Wendy's or McDonald's. If they follow cultural memes, maybe it is these days.
Or strawberry ice cream, right?
Oh, I haven't had strawberry ice cream in a long time.
Me neither.
Well, I want to keep my weight low. As you get older, you know, everything you eat piles it on, so that's part of it right there. But before we get started with a new book, let's kind of recap for listeners who may have just recently joined us where you got started with looking at foods.
Right. Well, it was, I'd had a longstanding interest in the intersection of fairy folk tales and the sort of UFO phenomena in general. And I was always very keenly aware of the taboo that existed in fairy folk tales that if you were to take food from the fairies, you would be trapped with them forever. And I was wondering, you know, if that had any sort of a corollary in abduction reports, because I did know that people were offered substances sometimes in abduction reports. But my real light bulb moment was when I was reading J. Robert Alley's Raincoast Sasquatch. And in that particular book, he mentions how certain First Nations people from Alaska felt that if you took food from a bookwuss, which was a woodman, basically a Sasquatch, that you would be trapped with the bookwuss forever. And I said to myself, aha, perhaps there's something here. So I just pulled on that thread, and an entire book just sort of fell out of it.
Wow. To me, it's just fascinating when you start looking at cross, you know, phenomena and looking at those linkages and points of connection. Jacques Vallée, of course, pointed out many of them in, you know, his seminal book, Password to Magonia. Right. One of my favorite books was Fairy Faith in Celtic Countries. There's numerous examples of, you know, warnings about food and drink and the wee folk. And then when you really start digging, like you did, you find that there's examples that kind of bridge the gap, whole set of potential paranormal phenomena and another. And it's fascinating to me. And anything that's tactile, anything that has to do with, you know, sight, hearing, touch, smell, I think has been kind of overlooked, don't you think? You have a lot of, you know, obviously people wanting, you know, descriptions of events, but, you know, seldom do you get into that whole area of, you know, special kinds of sounds, smells, and in the case of your last book, in taste. And it's just fascinating to me, and I really applaud your approach.
Well, I appreciate that. No, it's absolutely been neglected for far too long. You know, it's kind of interesting. I remember the first time that I approached Patrick Weege with Anomalous Books about A Trojan Feast. He said, I don't know if there's enough here. It sounds kind of like a thin concept. And he came back and he's like, oh, wow, there's so much here. And sure enough, you know, my philosophy that emerged out of that book was to look at the insignificant things that people don't tend to look at, because I think that perhaps we might get some greater insight by looking at those things. So when I started doing this book on, smells of supernatural entities of all types, again, Patrick was like, I don't know if there's much here to work on, you know. And once he saw my outline, it's like, oh, this is great. Go ahead. It's so great to have someone who believes in me like Patrick does. I really appreciate it.
Well, Patrick is, unlike a lot of publishers, he's deeply immersed in these subjects. Now, a couple of things always come to mind to me when you say foods and smells. That is, in connection with paranormal events, the onset of the odor of burnt sulfur. Now, this is kind of like covering old ground again, but it's where things begin. In fact, one of the wacky talk show hosts on the same network we're on was saying that two people in American politics carry that odor. I don't want to say who they are. But where did this come? Because this goes back to the days of John Keel and earlier, where when something's about to happen, you always have this odor.
Yeah, I think that everybody involved in politics smells that way, but but that's just my own personal opinion. Yeah,
and they have a lot of flies surrounding them.
Yeah, it's fascinating. You know, it's really interesting. After sort of looking at all the data for a lot of different subjects, this concept of sulfur, brimstone, kept on coming back up time and again. Probably not a majority of cases, but definitely a plurality of cases, hands down. It really is ammunition for a lot of people who tend to take a more spiritual angle to the paranormal, because they can say, oh, look, these gray aliens smell like sulfur. That must mean that they're demons. I don't necessarily think that's the case, but it is interesting to see sort of a continuum of this concept of foul smells emerging from medieval times being associated with the devil, and sort of being that attribute being transferred over into demons, into gray aliens, into Sasquatch, and even into other things like Men in Black or the Black Eyed Kids. But it's really interesting to see that sort of evolution, and I really think that perhaps one of the originations of this sort of meme or trope of sinister entities smelling like brimstone really is sort of an evolution of, you know, people in a simpler time trying to describe interactions with these Magonian phenomena.
But obviously, if they're smelling that, it has to have a basis. It's not just, well, this is what they must smell like because they are this kind of creature. It is the cause there being, you've got this odor as an onset. Once you smell it, something is going to happen.
Right. So that's the real question: is there any sort of extra meaning to this commonality? And, you know, throughout the years, different people have proposed different things. I know that John Keel was a fan of the idea that perhaps some sort of giant release of energy in the atmosphere when certain phenomena manifest, perhaps could generate some sort of explosion of hydrogen sulfide. Folklorically, it's really interesting because if you look at sulfur, which doesn't have a smell, actually, by the way, anytime you smell sulfur, it's either burning or it's actually a compound that you smell. So burning sulfur releases sulfur dioxide, so that's what you smell. A pure sulfur actually doesn't have a scent. But it's interesting because, you know, in antiquity, it was used as a fumigant. It was used to cleanse. So when, you know, if you look at the Christian Bible, whenever, you know, Satan was cast into the lake of fire and sulfur, it wasn't like some place that he wanted to go. It was God's attempt to cleanse him. If you look in certain Hebraic texts as well, God's breath was referred to as being like sulfur. So that's really where we get the sort of evolution of this sulfur idea. Sulfur isn't the smell of demons and the devil. It's the smell of God's attempt to cleanse the devil, which I thought was an interesting angle that I hadn't really ever heard anybody talk about before.
I'd never heard that.
Yeah, I mean, and that's this is the sort of reason this anti-fumigant, antimicrobial quality is the reason that sometimes you find like face creams and whatnot that actually have sulfites in them. It's the same property that makes them valuable in the cosmetic industry.
Well, the thing about the cosmetic industry, I always argue with my wife about this, is that they take something where the raw materials cost like 10 cents and they sell it for $50.
That's capitalism.
That definitely smells like sulfur.
Or worse.
Don't want to get there yet.
I had a college roommate that I'll tell you, you had to keep him away from Mexican food because the H2 gas would just. Oh man, I'll tell you, I literally had to leave the basement apartment that we shared on a number of occasions. I think it was just him. He had you know, just an unfortunate kind of problem, and it really didn't help with dating.
Unless you get some really strange kind of women.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's kind of invariably what would happen. And
they have a website for that, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, well, you know, another thing that, you know, just to go kind of with that particular, you know, we're talking about smells here. You know, there's combinations of smells, too. And, you know, I often have wondered, as you pointed out earlier, sometimes it's very difficult to describe a smell or the quality of a taste. I mean, it's something it's difficult to language. And I'm wondering if possibly we're dealing with a single type of smell, or we're dealing with a combination of smells, or possibly the kind of languaging of trying to describe these things.
We'll pick up on this our next segment. With Joshua Cutchin joining Gene and Chris, you're in.
the Paracast.
The award-winning graphic converter, the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. Get 20% off from lemkesoft.de/gene. That's lemkesoft.de/gene. Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
Attention, small business owners. Want to save money on your employee health insurance plan? Learn the little-known solution that could save thousands of dollars on your health insurance benefits and save your employees money, too. Call Health Markets for a free consultation, and one of our 3,000 local agents will show you how to make healthcare reform work for you. We'll design customized solutions for your business that can lower healthcare costs for you and your employees. We'll work directly with you to determine your needs. We search thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide. You'll also find out if tax credits could save you money. Best of all, the service is free of charge. See why Health Markets has enrolled Americans in more than 2 million insurance policies. You don't have to wait for open enrollment to lower your cost. Call now. Find out how much you and your employees could be saving.
Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-930-5137. That's 800-930-5137. 800-930-5137.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
You see, Chris is now sounding like a certain politician talking during the debate. And people tell us you don't want to hear about politics, and there it just enters into it. Before we have Joshua's answer, let's give you this answer. If you want the commercial-free version of the show, join Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. What it means is you get this show ad-free, the Paracast, After the Paracast podcast, and lots of other good stuff for a low subscription rate, plus theparacast.com. It is The Brimstone Deceit. Joshua Cutchin is the author. And Chris asked a question about languaging in our previous segment. Joshua?
That's an excellent point. And olfactory scientists actually have a term for this. They refer to it as the tip of the nose phenomenon. Basically, what it means is that even though you don't forget a smell once you smell it, sometimes it's not only difficult to create a scent picture in your mind, but sometimes it's difficult to identify it. You can often identify it as comparing it to something else. I think your idea about a sort of one singular common scent does have some real basis. What was interesting to me is how often scents that aren't explicitly noticed as sulfur often have sulfur undertones for the reason that they are malodorous in the first place. Human beings are so keenly in tune with the smell of sulfur, it's almost like these things want to utilize it as a way of being noticed. For example, hydrogen sulfide, which is the rotten egg smell that is probably one of the more common scents that you find. If you were to take an eyedropper full of ink and you were to put one drop of that ink into a liquid container of a semi-truck, that's twice the concentration at which we can smell hydrogen sulfide. We can actually smell that 0.47 parts per billion, if I recall correctly. So it's one of these extreme malodorous components that we're all really hardwired to detect. And what's interesting, if you look at other descriptions that people use in the paranormal, not only sulfur, but they say, well, you know, it smelled like decomposition. Well, there are a lot of different components in that sort of rotten meat, rotten tissue smell, but a lot of sulfur compounds are part of that. If you look at some people who in some cases say it smelled like burning rubber, a couple of UFO cases like that, well, you know, sulfur is used to vulcanize rubber. If you look at people who say it smelled like, you know, do I have a case from, I believe, Massachusetts that said that a UFO smelled like household gas. Well, household gas doesn't smell. We deliberately add methane thiol to household gas to make it smell, to, you know, to provide a warning. Skunk spray, even. The primary malodorous component in skunk spray is also sulfur-based as well. So there really is this sort of sulfuric undercurrent throughout a lot of these cases, more so than I think people even realize.
Just to kind of rewind here a little bit, you said that we are able to smell parts per billion?
Oh, yeah.
When it comes
yeah.
to this particular smell, because I'd never heard that. I heard that we were able to smell parts per million, but you're saying that like a certain smell like that, we can actually even smell even less
yeah.
of it. Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
that's amazing.
0.47 parts per billion, so half of a part per billion. It's amazing. And part of the reason for that is because hydrogen sulfide is, you know, actually a fairly toxic gas. I mean, you know, in theory, any gas can be toxic if you're not getting enough oxygen. But hydrogen sulfide it's a real dangerous smell. The good news is that if you're smelling it in an encounter, it probably means it has not reached that dangerous threshold, because when it is above that dangerous threshold, you actually become desensitized to it and you can't even smell it at all.
Oh, wow. Well, I knew that there are, for instance, bloodhounds have been somehow they've calculated they're able to smell parts per trillion, and bears are another example of an animal that can have extremely acute senses of smell. I think a bear can smell something downwind up to 5 miles.
Yeah, there's a statistic that I got from a guy at the Sensory Research Institute of Florida State University that said that canine noses are 10,000 to 100,000 times as acute as human noses. So if you were to take that analogy to your vision, even if it's just 10,000 times better, what you and I can see at a third of a mile, a dog could see at 3,000 miles away.
This is interesting here. Since you brought that up, I was thinking about the canine species in general. When humans are confronted with this burnt odor situation, this burnt sulfur odor, how do canines react when this happens?
You know, it's interesting. I have a little bit of a theory that all paranormal activities smell, just perhaps they might smell at a threshold that humans can't detect, which might be a reason why pets seem to respond to paranormal activity, or why pets seem to see things that aren't there or react to things that aren't there. It's interesting. You know, specifically germane to the question of this sulfuric smell, it's quite common to have dogs that are trained to track that will just sit down and stop when confronted with Sasquatch smell. I think it's interesting to couple that with the information that, with the knowledge that certain smells that Sasquatch are said to emanate are often used as dog repellents. Like, you often hear about, you know, a Sasquatch that smelled like ammonia or like a very strong urine smell. Well, ammonia is a great dog repellent. If you ever want a dog to not dig on a certain part of your lawn, just spray it with ammonia. Because what happens is their sense of smell is so sensitive that actually the whiff of that actually irritates their trigeminal nerve and ends up keeping the dog from digging at all. So it's interesting. It seems like there is some sort of interface between these smells and the reaction of small animals to them.
Yeah, I made the mistake of trying to combat a rash of bear garbage rummagings in the town I lived in Colorado. After about the third or fourth night, I went out and sprayed ammonia on the on my, you know, my trash, and the bear said, "Well, if you're going to do that, I'm going to break into your house and go right into your refrigerator."
So, oh, gee.
Yeah, with me and my girlfriend in the house, she woke me up at one point and said, "Honey, there's something in the kitchen, and I think it's bigger than a raccoon." Sure enough, you know, as a result, I it's hard not to make the leap, but as a result of just getting fed up and really assaulting the bear's nose, because ammonia will literally render them without the ability to smell for even a day or two. The bear just basically said, "Well, you're going to ratchet it up. I'm going to ratchet it up right back." So, you know, it brings up another interesting point that, you know, we do get reports from time to time of what people describe as aliens or ETs as having an ammonia smell. Have you kind of looked into that, and do you have any theories about what that could be due to, or how often does that crop up in your research?
Again, I've discussed this idea earlier about plurality versus majority. For anybody who doesn't know, if Hillary gets 51% of the vote, she's got a majority. If she gets 40% of the vote, but, you know, the remaining 60% is split two ways, then she has a plurality. So the most, but not a majority. From what I can tell, sulfur in all these cases, it pretty much represents a plurality. And if you look at the other, probably the second most common category, specifically in UFO and abduction cases, ammonia is a very common outlier as well, in addition to ozone. For example, I believe it was in the Virginia UFO case, some of the young girl witnesses said that they saw like this devil crouching in a corner of a vacant lot that smelled like ammonia or sulfur. Again, that frustrating thing where these are two very different smells, but people tend to conflate them, and it sort of gets difficult to parse it all out. As far as why that might happen, I have some suspicions about, well, basically, if you look at the data, the two main categories of these smells are sulfur smells and not sulfur smells. And it's interesting to note that a lot of the not sulfur smells are typically very strong stimulants of the trigeminal nerve, which is a nerve. If you've ever taken a big whiff of vinegar, you've felt your trigeminal nerve activate. It's actually one of the largest nerves in the face. And I think that has probably a little bit too much to go into here, and it sort of gives away to some of my conclusions of the book. But I think that the fact that you have all these other smells having that strong trigeminal stimulant component says something about their purpose.
Let's break it here, guys. We got more to come with Joshua Cutchin. It Doesn't Smell. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, a place for mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. Now there's finally a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. You can even add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP. And if you're one of the first 100 callers, you can try Transcend risk-free for 10 days. So call now. 1-800-441-0335. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. To guarantee your 10-day in-home trial, you must be one of the first 100 callers to call minicpap.com now. 1-800-441-0335. Again, that's 1-800-441-0335.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Well, this is not a malodorous show, despite what you think, ladies and gentlemen. We have a few critics out there who want to say all sorts of wacky stuff about us. But no, we've got Joshua Cutchin. And when it comes to various odors, particularly burnt sulfur, ammonia, etc., in connection with the paranormal, all bets are off. You want to go on with what you were talking about in our previous segment before we had a break?
Sure, certainly. So I think that it's interesting that you have these sulfur smells that sit at basically the opposite end of the spectrum from a lot of these other smells that are strong components of the trigeminal nerve. And I think that whenever you're dealing with any of this stuff, especially the UFO phenomena, but pretty much any of it, spirits, UFO, Sasquatch, you have to assume some degree of intentionality. Because especially, again, in the case of the UFO phenomena, it's very much in control of how it's seen and how it's noticed, etc. And to assume that the smell isn't deliberately controlled or isn't – to assume that whatever intelligence this is doesn't realize that it smells to high heaven, I think is a bit naive.
Let me ask you briefly here. We describe these specific odors, and the question I have is, are we interpreting something that we really don't have the answer for, but we think it has to be burnt sulfur or something else, that maybe there is a odor there that just is so alien to us we have to simplify it, or our noses do?
So that seems like a very likely case until you really dig down into some of the literature. I mean, obviously, in Western society, heavily Christian society, Judeo-Christian society, that would be a self-reinforcing meme that people would say, oh, it was evil, so it must have smelled bad. But there are plenty of cases from around the world where people will still describe this sulfurous smell. For example, in July 1979, there was a young girl named Sunan Bhoumik who claimed, along with several other villagers, that I believe she was in a schoolhouse, and there was a UFO that ended up, like, basically tearing the roof off of her school, and she said that her school, and she said that she fell over a metal sheet, but actually smelled a smell in the air that smelled like a burning smell like gunpowder. So that's obviously not a Judeo-Christian country, and that you still see this same comparison reinforced in that particular culture.
Now, one thing you say in the liner notes of your book, The Brimstone Deceit, you refer to the fact that smell is a sense ripe for deception. So if we can't trust our noses, what do we trust?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Smell, because of the way that we're wired, is very closely tied to memory. There have actually been some studies that show a comparison between a diminishing sense of smell and a correlation between that and Alzheimer's. So, you know, something that Terence McKenna used to talk about was the inefficiency of language. And how, you know, basically I had to say something and you had to check your little dictionary inside your head and make sure that it actually compared well. And as a counter to this, he suggested telepathy, or some sort of visual medium. He often invoked the idea of the octopus, which can change texture and color, etc., to sort of wear its feelings on its sleeve. That's a good solution. It's not the best solution, though, because if you think about the way that smell would interface with communication, it would just cut straight to your emotional center. You know, you wouldn't have, there would be no barriers with that. And so in that case, if an intelligence were able to have some sort of access to your memories and they were able to incorporate a smell, they could actually really be quite manipulative in terms of conveying a message or in terms of making you feel a particular way.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think when I'm thinking about the whole concept of memory and smell, you know, obviously the first thing that a person does is think back, well, what's the earliest thing I can smell? And I can literally identify the earliest, you know, kind of memory that I have, actually, as a very, very young child. And that is the smell of pickling. My grandmother used to, you know, do her own pickling. And whenever I smell, you know, not necessarily your store-bought kind of, you know, filled with all sorts of chemicals and stuff, but whenever I smell fresh home pickling, it always brings back that memory that you know, I can almost equate as one of my very, very earliest memories. And it's not sight, it's not feeling, it's smell. And I think that's a really important point that should be underlined.
Yeah, and it's completely involuntary. So, I mean, like, we spend all this time talking about screen memories and, oh, well, you know, the Grays decided to project, you know, to look into my mind and project this particular image that had meaning to me. But nobody ever really talks about the possibility that smell could occupy that same position.
Cadaverine and putrescine, which I, correct me if I'm wrong, are the two molecules that give you the smell of decaying flesh, for instance, for cadaverine, and putrescine is the smell of garbage, basically, or organic plant matter decaying.
Yeah, those are primary, very powerful. Those are, I'm sorry that you cut out and I sort of ended up speaking over you. But yeah, those are two very strong primary components of the smell of decay. They're also present in halitosis, actually. But, you know, it's sort of decay itself is sort of a bouquet. You've got cadaverine, you've got putrescine, you've got methanthiol again, dimethyl sulfide, dimethyl trisulfide, and hydrogen sulfide because of the way that the body breaks down. So, again, you see these these sulfuric components. Two other components that are interesting in sort of that decay smell are scatol and indole. I'm not sure if you're familiar with either of those, but...
Say that again.
Scatol and indole. So scatol is interesting because not only is it one of the reasons that feces smells distinct, but it actually is a strong component in jasmine. If you have just a little bit too much scatol or indole in your jasmine scent, it sort of tips to the other way and it ends up smelling fecal. Which, of course, raises a whole host of other questions because one of the most common spirit smells, ghost smells, are women's perfumes, and a lot of cases have jasmine. And at the same time, you have these decay, you know, fecal smells too. So the line starts to blur. And again, it's this idea that perhaps there might be intelligences that could use these subtle differences to, you know, to impart unto witnesses their true nature, or rather, even more frightening, their not true nature, being deceptive about it. You know, so if I were an intelligence of some sort, and I'm being sort of vague with that term because I'm just referring to all these Magonian phenomena, and I wished for you to have a pleasant experience, I might, you know, use just the right amount of jasmine scent. And if I wish for you to have an unpleasant experience, I might tilt that balance in the other direction and actually, you know, make it smell foul. Because we can't separate foul smells from their connotations. It's, again, it's this instantaneous reaction that we all have.
So mm-hmm. You're trying to control people with their noses.
Yeah, I mean, it's so there is plenty of evidence that this is a definite thing. Like, people behave differently in a job interview when the interview room smells clean. There was actually an ad campaign in New York where the opposing party handed out leaflets that smelled like garbage that said, "Let's dump so and so." So if the idea that, like, we already are using as a species smells to manipulate people. It's just, so if we're doing that, wouldn't some sort of other intelligence, be it literally extraterrestrial, be it spiritual, whatever, it seems like they would definitely have caught on to that and would be using that to the best of their abilities to manipulate us.
Now, one of the problems we have with modern paranormal events is the fact that most investigators like MUFON, etc., they don't record the witness's state of mind or what they smelled or what headed up the perception of something strange there. How do we get people to look at that and pay serious attention? Because obviously there's a lot of importance attached to it. And other than books like yours, Joshua, it's a subject that doesn't really get a lot of coverage. The book, again, is called The Brimstone Deceit. And the rear of the book, he's got the phrase, "Something foul this way comes." Joshua Cutchin with Gene and Chris, you're in
Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X-large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Investment Rarities, a 43-year-old company, has created the best silver offer ever. Get a U.S. Silver Eagle, Canadian Maple Leaf, Austrian Philharmonic, OPM Pierre Bar, and Silver Round. Have all five for $99 post-paid. You heard me right, 5 ounces of silver below cost. No credit card fees, free shipping. Just $99 and you'll have a great start on what it takes to survive even the worst economic storm. Act now and receive Jim Cook's exclusive paper explaining how it's possible to make a fortune in silver today. Don't miss this opportunity. Call 800-328-1860. Read how the above-ground supply of silver has dropped below even gold. The secret is being suppressed. The price could explode at any time. Call today at 800-328-1860. Get 5 ounces of silver for only $99. Find them on the web at investmentrarities.com or call 800-328-1860. Call now before it's too late. 800-328-1860.
Has neck, back, or shoulder pain got you down? Go to sunshine-pillows.com and get soothing comfort, support, and pain relief fast. Their microwavable heat therapy pillows and wraps treat neck and shoulder pain, reduce stress, and relax the soul. An ergonomic pillow from Sunshine Pillow supports your head and neck on long trips or when simply resting at home. Be good to yourself. Visit sunshine-pillows.com. Sunshine-pillows.com.
Hi, this is James Fox from Chasing UFOs. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Chris is really busy there trying to find a way of saying the Paracast that conveys an odor.
The Paracast.
I was thinking of it this way, too. Say you have someone in your house. You have some guests, and you're getting tired of their presence. You know, it's time to go to bed. It's time to do something else. You want to get rid of them in a subtle fashion. So what, you spray some odor-producing substance?
Well, in theory, but then again, you know, you've got this adaptability that we have. Anybody who's ever entered a stinky room knows that after some time, you know, you don't notice the stink anymore.
Yeah, it's true. You become inured to it. You become used to it. But I'll tell you, there's one thing that, you know, Isadora, my longtime partner and girlfriend in Colorado, never got used to. In fact, she wouldn't even let me in the house after coming back from a mutilated cow investigation where the cow had been possibly sitting in the sun for an extra day too long. And there were a number of occasions where she literally would make me strip outside and she, you know, I just kind of hosed myself off with some soap. And there was one time it was so bad, I even had to burn my clothes or, you know, toss my clothes away. So I'm not making that up. I mean, that out of all the, you know, investigations that I went on, my least favorite were, you know, overly necrotic cows with hundreds of pounds of rotting flesh. And I'll tell you, those molecules are extremely powerful, and they somehow smellify, for lack of a better term. You can try to deodorize yourself, and I even had a little bottle of Osium that you know, is that spray, you know, odor neutralizer, and I would try to do that, and there were a couple times where even that didn't work, and I literally had to toss clothes and take cold showers with a hose outside.
I know that you're telling the truth on that, because I have reams of cases where people encountered smells and could not get it off of them. I mean, look at Leroy Wallace's widow said that supposedly after he went to clean up the crash site at Roswell, he came home and he had to strip off his clothes. He smelled like awful for like days and days and days. You find people who plenty of Native American lore where people are abducted by Sasquatch and come back and they're ostracized by the tribe because they smell so badly. So this is a very common theme in a lot of these sort of supernatural events.
Yeah, it's believe me, it was my least favorite thing to have to deal with, and you know, I would have literally, and I still do, in my little kind of mock doctor's bag that I, you know, have ready to take out on mute cases, Mm-hmm. Not so much anymore because I'm in Arizona where they're not reported that often. And by choice, I might add that I moved here. That was one of the reasons.
What about getting the odor out of the car? If it's in your clothing, do you find that it also persists in your car?
Yeah. There were a number of cases where that was an issue. And those little pine air fresheners only work so well. But one thing I noticed, here's a case that was very interesting. One of my most high strange cases, you know, I've mentioned it on the show a number of times, but it was out of 200 cases. This was one of five that was the most, kind of hair raising and disturbing. And, the animal wouldn't, rot. It was a calf and it was pulled in during the early spring into a heated garage and coming back 4 days after the fact. There was still no smell of decay. I kind of summed up my courage and put my nose really close to the animal, and I detected a very interesting, the only way I can describe it is like a medicinal perfume. There were very, very few scent molecules, I think, in the air, but the ones that were there were very powerful. And when I was driving away a couple three hours later, I noticed some hay that was on my chest, and I kind of brushed it off, and I got a slight whiff of this medicinal, like a disinfectant perfume is the only way I can describe it. And there again, we go into the languaging problem. But whatever this particular molecule was, it was extremely powerful. There weren't very many of them, but they just had a, you know, a kind of an unnatural presence. They were so strong.
Yeah, and the medicinal component recurs quite a bit. You know, it's interesting. There are several smell disorders which people cite in you know, sort of paranormal literature. One of the things that people cite often is phantasmia. And people erroneously cite phantasmia because a lot of times they'll say phantasmia is the smelling of smells of ghost smells, but that's not true. Phantasmia is when you're in a room with three other people and you're like, I smell so and so. Don't you smell so and so? That's phantasmia. And often it's a sign of a more serious neurological condition. But the reason that I bring it up is because it's sort of alarming to someone who's interested in the paranormal. A lot of the most common phantasmic smells in one study are often direct corollaries to what people smell in paranormal encounters. So burning smells, rotten smells, charring smells, or the reason that I brought this up, medicinal smells as well. But, you know, well, what's interesting...
It's a great band name.
Phantasmia? the opening epigraph of the book introduces a new concept, which is phortosmia, which is the smelling of things that aren't supposed to exist.
Interesting. I like that. You'd have a tough time trying to describe that to somebody, though, that particular smell.
Exactly.
We're leaving that one for you, Gene. That was your pickup line.
Well, I know that comment just smells, sir.
I know there's so many easy puns to make, and it's like I can imagine some like fifth grade kid getting a hold of my book and laughing at all the times that I have to talk about, you know, flatus or or some of these other things. But like, you know, you had to talk about it, you know, because again, one of the primary malodorous component in farts is hydrogen sulfide. It's not methane, as people will suspect.
H2.
Yep. H2S. H2S.
H2S. There you go.
Yeah. But you know, we haven't talked about this. I think one of the moments that I put in the book that I was just laughing at like what people were going to say about is there was an Idaho witness who claimed to have encountered Bigfoot, and he said that the smell reminded him of when he was a lamb farmer, and whenever the sheep would give birth to a dead lamb fetus, that was the same smell. Ooh. Like, man, that's so disgustingly evocative. Ooh. I never want to hear that again.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah, I mean, it conjures up all sorts of unpleasant kind of very visceral sensations. You know, one thing that I've always been intrigued by as someone that spent, you know, over the course of my life quite a bit of time outdoors and, you know, being around outfitters, trackers, you know, those sorts of people that are really, really aware of their environment when they're out in the outdoors. And one of the things that I always found very fascinating is many wild animals, when they have young, the young for the first few months of their life lack a smell. And obviously that's been developed, you know, over time as a, you know, a mechanism to hide offspring from, you know, possible predators. And, you know, for instance, deer and elk, not only do they have dappled fur to help them blend into, you know, the dappled sunshine going through, you know, brambles or wherever they're being hidden, but they also lack a smell, which obviously is, you know, increases their chances of, you know, making it through those crucial few months at the beginning of their life. So I'm sure the reverse is true, too. You know, and I really am intrigued by the whole concept of smell being used as a form of manipulation or a form of subterfuge by whatever intelligences are behind some of these types of phenomenal events that we're talking about. And I guess if you can hide your baby with, you know, a lack of smell, you could you know, if you can hide the smell of your offspring as a some sort of defensive mechanism, to program in smells could be very, very nefarious in terms of taking people in a, almost a subliminal way. Could be a some form of disinformation or programming in some sort of nefarious subterfuge.
Excellent point.
Yes, indeed, an excellent point, and we'll have many more excellent points in a moment. Please check out plus.theparacast.com. Once again, that's plus.theparacast.com. That is the road to the Paracast Plus, our premium subscription service. For a low fee, we give you the commercial-free version of this show after the Paracast podcast and all sorts of other goodies. And if you go for a long-term membership, you even get a selection of free ebooks at plus.theparacast.com. Leading Us Astray by Smell with Joshua Cutchin, The Brimstone Deceits the Book with Gina and Chris. You're in.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots and, like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.